Francis Leach joins us now from ABC Grandstand. How are you doing, Francis?
G'day, Waleed. How are you?
I'm very well, and excitement in the air just 1 week away from the Gabba test. As I went past Suncorp Stadium today, you could see that one season was receding into another. And now we have a team to talk about. So let's go straight into it, shall we? John Inverarity, Australian selector, speaking today about Brad Haddin's future, the fact that they dropped him earlier today.
We're aware of all factors. I mean, the fact that Matthew is 24 and rising and Brad turns 35 about now. Obviously Matthew is more for the future, but we're very focused on, you know, who deserves and who will do best against South Africa.
It must mean Brad Haddin's career is over at international level, mustn't it?
I think it does, and I think you've got a feel for Brad Haddin in all of this, Waleed. He was selected, they had faith in him to select him on the year for a tour of the West Indies, and he played the first test, and this was after a fairly dismal summer with the bat, and many of us got frustrated, particularly with his batting, and as a wicketkeeper these days, you need to be able to carry the bat as well, but his very young infant daughter was sick, so he came home from that tour early. He's had a fairly tough year in relation to that particular issue, and all of our thoughts and feelings are with him there, and then the selectors have made the choice that Matthew Wade did enough in replacing him to hang on to his spot. And it's all about timing for Matthew Wade. I mean, he was second in line in Tasmania to young Tim Payne as well. He played 2ICT for a long time at club cricket and in Tasmania before moving to Victoria to become the wicketkeeper. When that opportunity presented itself, Payne was out with injury. Wade was the next available and in good form was given that chance and hasn't looked back. So he'll get his start behind the stumps and an opportunity to make that his for the long term.
Yeah, what happened to Tim Payne? He's meant to be captaining Australia by now, isn't he?
He had a fairly serious injury and it did curtail his ability to play. And at that time, Matthew Wade made huge inroads with Victoria and has become the go-to guy behind the stumps. So Payne is back playing now, but the ship sailed a little bit. I mean, Phil Jakes was similarly in a situation like this as well. I remember Jakes made a couple of big scores for Australia 3 or 5 or 6 years back for playing for New South Wales and looked like to be the test opener of choice. He got injured late in an Australian summer and a bloke called Simon Cadditch was recalled. Yes. And Cadditch then went on to be the test opener of summer now for the next 4 or so years before he was dropped when many people thought he should have been retained last summer. So it's a lot about timing. There are only 11 active spots on the Australian test team and one bloke to carry the drinks. So if you miss your moment, it could be gone. And that might be the case with Tim Payne, but that's a long way from being done because Matthew Wade has to make sure that he earns that spot and keeps it.
Well, that's true, but he is young, which means he's probably got some leeway, and there's no one else really knocking on the door, aside from Haddin himself, that is of a similar age. They're all kind of a little bit older, so the case for him becomes pretty strong, doesn't it?
It does. The same sort of attitude hasn't been taken to our batting stocks in recent times, I can tell you that. You
look well,
at
that's
list
true.
In Ricky Ponting's defence, the innings that he gave us at the MCG playing against Victoria this week was, by all good judges, one of the best I've seen in a long time. So he's got a feel for it. He's had a full pre-season here at home and he's full of runs and looked in ominous form. So he's rearing to go. Mike Hussey just keeps being Mr. Consistent. Michael Clarke there as the captain. Warner and Cowan to open the innings. Cowan still needing a big score, I think, to solidify his spot at the top of the order, though he's very much well-liked by the selectors for his temperament.
Do you think he did enough, though? Do you think he really did enough?
Look, having interviewed him a few times, he knows every time he goes out there at the moment, he's batting for his spot in the team. They like the contrast between Cowan's approach to accumulating runs and David Warner's more cavalier approach. It gives them a variety at the top of the innings, and it takes the pressure off Shane Watson to have to open. He has to do everything, Watson, as a bowler and a batsman. We have this, lopsided nature to the Australian cricket team at the moment. You have fast bowling stocks in Patterson, Siddle, Mitchell Stark with a left-arm pace, and Nathan Lyon, who's done enough to hold his spot as a slow bowler, and Ben Hilfenhaus. They're the bowlers that are named, and behind them you've got Ben Cutting, Patrick Cummins, young Jackson Bird in Tasmania, who was the Shield Player of the Year last year, Alistair McDermott, son of Craig McDermott, who really impressed a lot of people in the summer just gone, Josh Hazlewood from New South Wales, who bowled brilliantly just last year and coming back from injury and really well in the T20 tournament with his Sydney Sixers. So there is a logjam when it comes to fast bowlers, but there isn't enough competition for spots with the bat at the moment. moment. That's a real problem for Australian cricket. Usman Khawaja has not come on and been the number three batsman that we'd hoped he was. I feel sorry for him in a way. Remember when he was sort of announced at the Sydney Test when Australian cricket was having its darkest moment, having lost the Ashes in Melbourne to a team that steamrolled us, and they wheeled him out as the number three, in the darkest moment, the new Avenger is born and all that sort of stuff. He made 37 and we all carried on like he was the new king, and he hasn't dealt with that at all. He's not even in the Australia A side to play South Africa. That's how far he's fallen off the radar. We need Khawaja and Hughes and these guys to be putting pressure for places on our Australian batsmen, because they will be under the pump against a very good South African attack Thursday week.
Oh, yeah, one of the best attacks in the world. Now, just very quickly, we should make some reference to Casey Stoner. Had another big win at the MotoGP at Phillip Island yesterday, his last in Australia. Here he is speaking after his win.
It was very important for me to win a race, you know, before I retire. And, you know, to do it at my home Grand Prix here was just, you know, fairy tale. This whole weekend's gone almost ideally. We've just topped off the end of a difficult year, but, you know, I think there's no better way to do it than in front of your home crowd.
Shame about the injury. He'd probably have another world championship to his name, wouldn't he?
Indeed. Six times at the island now. It's pretty much become his own. 27 years of age. I think his timing is impeccable. He's had a lot of injuries in the last few years, and he understands the danger of the MotoGP circuit in terms of what it offers you if you get hurt. So he's walking away from that. There's already talk that the V8s cars and teams are lining up to talk to him to get him on four wheels rather than two. As they say in the motor racing game, when you age, get in the cage. And that could be what's up for him next. I love the fact that he's pressing about this. He knows that it's enough. He's prepared to walk away and do something else. Let's hope there isn't a comeback on two wheels at least.
All the best for him. Thanks very much, Francis. Always good to talk. Francis Leitch from ABC Grandstand.